Really glad you guys are here. You guys glad to be here? Kind of, sort of. Are you guys glad to be here? Good. Some people are. That's great. Well, here's the deal. I'll just be real honest with you. I like people that are honest, so I'm going to be honest. We are a new church, so we're still trying to figure stuff out. So like right now, this kind of works, but not really. So what I'm going to do, see, it kind of works, but I'm the kind of person that unless I'm 100%, I don't trust you. So I don't trust it. So this is where I am. I'm going to pretend like we're in a little bitty room, which we are, and I'm going to walk around and like show you what I meant to show you up here. And if this works, that's just a bonus. If it works, great, but I don't need it because I can do this. So that's what we're going to do this morning. I apologize for the inconvenience. Here is the problem. It's one word. And, you know, I'm a little bit biased. The word is Microsoft. That's the problem. We tried to load Office PowerPoint because I'm used to that model and platform rather than, I forget the name of the Mac version. Tried to install that on our computer and it just didn't work. So we will improvise and we'll figure it out by next week. But is that okay? I know it's a little bit like ghetto, but that's okay. You know, we're brand new, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just superfluous, really, anyway. So this morning, Easter Sunday. There's a lot of history to why Christians celebrate Easter, but I bring it down to the core. Why do we celebrate Easter as believers? Many people would say you shouldn't celebrate Easter as a Christian. It has pagan roots, Ishtar, and with all of the celebration of, really, to be honest with you, procreation. That's why little bunnies and eggs, that's where all that comes from. But I don't want to focus on that. My opinion is you always focus on Jesus. And that's the point. And so this morning, Easter has some pagan origins. So do I. I mean, I was born in sin. And by God's grace, He reached into my life and changed me and saved me through a very simple message. And all I want to do with you this morning is share with you that message. You know, Christians and religion is kind of a funny thing to me. Some people say that many people have what's known as a bumper sticker theology. What do you mean by that? Well, I'll show you what I mean. If you just Google this or Bing it or Yahoo it, whatever it is that you like, this is the stuff that you'll come up with. Oh, there it is. God, guns, and guts. Made America, let's keep all three there. Or all three. So it's kind of like, okay, that's kind of a cheesy theology. Not perfect, just forgiven, as they speed 70 in a 35, you know? Like that kind of mentality. Warning, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. I like that one. I think that one's kind of cool. Now this next one is very popular, but very unbiblical. Coexist. Now that sounds good, because like, hey, we want to be tolerant, isn't that what we want? Well, no. I mean, we want to share the truth in love, but not just say, hey, you know, whatever's clever. Let's just, you know, if you're a Buddhist, if you're in, you know, Islam, as long as you find your center, what brings you peace, that's what's good. No, I wish, but that's not it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I don't know much, but I do know that the means like the singular, means not multiple. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And this kind of pulls from different symbols of worldview, religion, or perspective on life. Now, here's the deal. That's not my perspective. That's Jesus's perspective. He's the one that said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So if you don't like, take it up with Jesus. Don't take it up with me. I 150% have trust and faith with that. And if you disagreed with me, I would probably show you why you're wrong. But you know what? If you don't like that, the real person you have a problem with is not the church. It's not a pastor. It's not a ministry. It's God. Someone once told me this, Neil, if you have a problem with authority, you have a problem with God. If the word submission makes you cringe, you have a problem with God. Because life is all about realizing that you're not God. And He is. And you and I are called to submit to Him. To give our lives to Him. Now, how do we do that, though? I mean, it's like Job said. Job is the first book that was probably penned in the Old Testament. Very first book. Genesis records the beginning of history, and it's placed at the beginning of the Bible because the Bible's not ordered chronologically. It's by subject matter. So you have like the first five books, which is known as the Torah or the Pentateuch or the Law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But when you get to the wisdom literature or the poetry books, you find this story in Job. And Job made this huge statement. He said, "There is not a mediator between me and God that I should be able to connect with him." See, here's the deal. In Genesis 3:15 is the first mention of the gospel. If you study theology, it's known as the proto-evangelicum. Big word, la-di-da, what does it mean? First mention of the gospel. Genesis 1 and 2 is creation. Genesis 3 is the fall of man. So in Genesis 3, what do you find? The remedy. What is the remedy for the sin of humanity? It's God himself. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is not the brother of Lucifer. Jesus is not your homeboy. Jesus is not just some good guy. C.S. Lewis once said, and I think it's really true, Jesus Christ is either a bold-faced liar, he's a raving lunatic, or he's Lord. There's no fourth option. He's just a bold-faced liar, some of the things that he said. Or he's just crazy, some of the things that he said. Or he's really genuine. Perspective and my choice on life is that's true. Now, is that just my perspective and whatever's good for you is good for you? No. You ever heard of this thing called gravity? None of you ever heard of this thing? Gravity? Okay, some of you have. That's great. Gravity. I could care less whether or not you agree with gravity. But if you were to go to the top of the Emerald Grand or the bridge right here and say, "I don't believe in gravity," you would believe in it very quickly. And it's the same with the gospel. "I don't believe in the gospel," and you die. I should have believed in the gospel. It's truth. It does not matter to me whether or not you intellectually agree with the gospel. Why? Because one day you will. The Bible teaches that every knee, not some knees, every mouth will confess, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So here's the deal. It's kind of like you're going to do that anyway. Shouldn't you reap the benefits of it now? Because now is the time, as in the book of Hebrews, today is the day of salvation. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is a mystery. And the present is all we have. It's a gift. It's all we have. Yesterday's done, so forget about it. Who cares? It's yesterday. Tomorrow, who knows? But right now, this is what you have. Who knows what tomorrow holds? At the end of our time this morning, I'm going to share with you a little video clip that my brother put together, and it's my uncle's testimony. See, my family has been in Northwest Florida for a long time. My father was born and raised here. I was born and raised here. So were many other members of my family. And our family is crazy. Is your family like that at all? Am I the only one? Our family's nuts, man. We've got drug dealers. We've got pastors. We've got movie stars. We've got professional surfers. And then you just like those weird people. Like, man, how are we related? You know, like that, you just got those people in our family. And kind of one of the patriarchs, if I can use that term, the oldest brother, Yancey, died 2 months ago. And to be honest with you, it's rattled our family. None of us expected that. You know, he was like 60 years old, had a heart of a 30-year-old, and he just went. And he went while he was surfing. And it's shaken our family. Some of it's good. But death is hard when it hits your family. It's just hard. And so for us, we've been running ragged. You know, it happened right before Easter. And for us, Easter's a big deal for the Spencer family. And so we're trying to process all of that. But see, here's the deal. We're well that we know where Yancey is. But that doesn't mean that it still isn't hard. Doesn't mean it still doesn't kind of impact you from time to time. And I'll never forget one morning when I was living in Southern California, I went to go see my cousin surf. And he was surfing in this little spot called Lower Trestles. And he was surfing for Billabong, who's one of his sponsors. And I was hanging out with Yancey and just watching. And I never spent any time with Yancey. Never. Yancey's kind of a lot like my strong, silent type. Kind of hard to figure out what he's thinking. And so Yancey and I hung out for a weekend. And he told me a few things that I'll never forget. He said, you know what, Neil, I'm not perfect, but here's a few things I've learned. And if it helps you, great. He said, these are three things that I've made important in my life. Go to church, tithe, and find that one thing that God has called you to do and do it extremely well. Go to church, tithe, and find out what God's gifted you to do and dedicate your life to that. He said, for me, it's surfing. He said, for John, which is my dad, it's teaching the Bible. So dedicate yourself to that. Don't get distracted by all these other good things. Because God, please listen to me. Please, please, please. God has formed and fashioned you for a reason. You are different than the person sitting next to you. That's what makes you yourself. It's the law of identity, law of logic. God has a plan specifically tailored for your life. And please listen to me. No one else can fulfill that calling other than you. I can't do it. Your mom can't do it. Your dad can't do it. Only you can fulfill the plan that God has for you. And this is where it starts. It starts with a relationship with the author of life. His name is Jesus. Jesus. I wanted to read something to you that I found extremely interesting. I think, Destin, you know, you guys are smart people, so you can hang with me. It's going to be a little bit long, but I trust you. You're not going to fall asleep or start spitting, you know, wads in the ceiling or whatever. So please listen to this as I read this. It says this. I hope you hear this. For many today, the gospel has been associated with advice for your best life now. In some cases, the gospel has been reduced to marketing slogans like bumper stickers. We've all seen them. Want heaven? Get Jesus. Jesus rules? R-U-L-E-S. Do you live by them? Need some good advice? It's in the Bible. The gospel has become, to some, the quintessential narcissistic tool, the cure-all pill for things like stress, personal fulfillment and happiness, child-rearing, diet-eating plans, social action, etc. The gospel, please listen to me. The gospel is not a set of rules to live by. The gospel is not a series of steps that a man follows in order to get God to do something. The gospel is not advice for better living. The gospel is not a therapeutic psychological massage for troubled emotions. The gospel is not the cure-all for one's personal woes in life. The gospel is not important because it can help me become a better me. None of these views that are very popular represent the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the joyful announcement. See, the gospel isn't a good view. It's good news. It's not a view. It's truth. The gospel is that joyful announcement about Christ, that he is the Son of God and became man for us. God draped in humanity. That he died, was buried, and was raised. And that he has ascended into heaven, where now he is seated at the right hand of God and been established of Lord over all things. He is presently reigning as king, head of the church, and will one day, please listen to me, Jesus will one day come as the judge of both the living and the dead. See, when Jesus first came, he came as a humble servant. And it was prophesied. The Old Testament. And here's the deal. When he comes the second time, he doesn't come as the hippie who's your homeboy. That's not Jesus. Read the book of Revelation. When Jesus comes back, he comes as the judge. He judges the living and the dead. And if you believe, if there's any inclination in your mind and heart that Jesus came once, there's twice as many prophecies that he's coming back again. Think that, oh yeah, Jesus was probably a historical figure, but coming back again, that's ridiculous. See, I love God because God is both personal and logical. He said, well, if they think he came once, you better believe he's coming again. For every one time he said about the first coming, he said it twice about the second. When someone repeats themselves, especially if it's this guy called God, it might be wise to pay attention and to reorder your life around what he says. See, the gospel is this joyful announcement that Christ has come. The gospel is the news that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, died for our sins, rose again, eternally triumphant over his enemies. So now there's no condemnation for those who believe. Please listen to me. I don't think most people get this. No condemnation? Please hear this. Only everlasting joy. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. The essence of faith is being satisfied with all that God is for us in Jesus Christ. See, here's two words that I never have understood why go together. Christian and boring. I will never understand that. Because the word enthusiastic means to be in theos, to be filled with God. To be filled with God. When John, you know, the guy that wrote the Gospel of John, when he wrote his Gospel, what his whole point was? It was life. See, that's why for us, that's our focus. If you go to our new website, coastlinelife.com, that's what it's all about. It's about experiencing the essence of life, both temporally and eternally. How do you do that? Through a relationship with Jesus. Drugs, sex, career, money, fame, travel, hobbies, reputation are all empty. That's a never-ending ladder. You always think just one more rung. Oh, gosh, there's another one. There's another one. There's another one. Family. So many good Christians make family the god of their life. What? You're saying family's not important? It's extremely important. But Jesus said, if you don't hate your mother, brother, and sister, your mom and your dad, and follow me, you're not worthy of me. What does that mean? It means you love appropriately. You love appropriately. Mean to love appropriately. God comes first. See, my beautiful wife and my little girl and our next baby, they're a huge part of my life. Huge. I love them more than I love you. And you want me to, because that's the right thing. But I love God more than I love them. And for some of us, that there's like a cutting that happens when you, that's wrong. No, that's the gospel. But see, because I love God first, I love my wife and my little girl, my family, so much better than I ever could. Because so many people take good things and make them the best. No. Live for the best. That's my opinion. What is the best? God and his glory. How do I do that? A relationship with Jesus Christ. What do I have to do to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm glad you asked. Because it's very simple. Jesus said it this way. You know, he was talking to this guy, Nick, and it was kind of nighttime. So if we were about 30 years ago, this would have been a great joke to say this is the original Nick at Night, for any of you that know what that means. He was talking to this guy named Nick, and it's recorded in the Gospel of John chapter 3. And he said, you know what, Nick? God so hated the world. No. He said, you know what, Nick? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And that whoever would trust that, believe that, have faith in that, will not perish. Well, what does that mean to perish? To have a wasted life? And then to have life in hell. That's what it means to have a perishing life. He will not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believes in him will not perish. Okay, well then what? But will have everlasting life. Please listen to me. Everlasting life does not just speak of a quantity of time, meaning a long life, but a quality of time, meaning a good long life. Both temporally and eternally, I've found something. It's all about who you know. It's all about who you know. Like you could show up somewhere and you're new to a town and say, man, I'm like the smartest guy in this whole city. You know, I'm like the most talented and no one, you know, is better than me at building or designing or creating. And you'll probably go nowhere. But if you show up and say, you know what? I know this guy. He's like the mayor of this city. And he said he's going to hook me up. You have a better potential to have a good business, career, life in that city. Why? Because it's all about who you know. See, in life, it's all about who you know, both temporally and eternally. Jesus, listen to me, this is so logical. Jesus is the author of life. I don't know if you know what that word author means, but it means like he kind of, like, oh, I had this idea, I'm going to write, this is a good thing to do. It's wise to kind of listen to him. He's the author of life. He's the only source of life. And if you're not living in a passionate love affair with Jesus, you're living for something less. You are living for something that will never satisfy. You may have Jesus a part of your life, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus is life, and everything else is superfluous to me, even my family. And trust me, when you begin to grasp the gospel, family becomes more important than it ever was. Church becomes important. The gifting and talent that God gives you, you see it as, man, this isn't my way to make money. My gifting and talent is a way to be a steward of the gospel. God is the one who provides money. So pay me whatever you want to pay me. I don't care. That's not what I'm about. I'm about using the talent I have to make sure people don't go to hell. People don't live like that. Most people say, hey, well, I'm good at this. This is going to make me a lot of money and give me an easy life. So what are you living for? God? No. You're living for the American nightmare, which some people call the American dream. And people that finally live the dream, their lives turn into a nightmare. You don't believe me? Just look at celebrities. They got it all and they have nothing. I have a cousin that's in the movie business. Her movie with Spielberg and Harrison Ford comes out next month. Rubs elbows with some of the most empty people in life. And yet they're the people that we think got it all together. Jesus came to give life. If we had more time, which we never do, I would love to do a Bible study with you on Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 47. Here's my challenge to you, for those of you that are challengeable. I want you to read this passage morning with your family, over lunch or whatever the time or case may be. But I want to break it down with you real quickly on what is said in those verses. Acts chapter 2, we see the first message that was ever preached after the resurrection. This guy named Peter, he shared this message. Oh, this is working. This is great. He shared this message. And in verses 22 through 35, man, Peter preaches. What does that preach? He boldly communicated simple truth. What does he communicate? He communicates what God did. Well, what did God do? He sent his son. Well, who's his son? He's Jesus the Messiah. Well, what did he do? He died on the cross according to God's purposes. Then what happened? God raised him from the dead. Then what happened? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and now God is pouring out his Holy Spirit. See, the gospel's not, hey, bro, you got this thing called sin, add Jesus, and you don't got to go to hell. That's not the gospel. The revelation of what God did, he said there was this huge plan, started in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and God raised up a people group known as the Jewish people. That's why Christians should love Jews. Why? Because God loves Israel. You should love Israel. I wear this band always to remember that we are called to love and support what God loves and supports. And I was in Miami a few weeks ago, and there was this Israeli kid behind me. And we had a little conversation, and he saw that I had a band that had Hebrew on it, and he was stoked about that. And we talked a little bit. So I went through security, he went through security, and I went without a problem. And they, like, basically did everything but strip search that guy. We almost looked the same, talked the same, same age, but because he's a Jew, he is singled out. And if you're a Christian, that should do something to you. It should make you feel like this isn't right. Like, I have a little brother. I can pick on my little brother. But if you pick on him, when I become a better boxer, I'm going to call you. You know, like, you can't do that. That's not okay. I can shoot him with BB guns and knock his teeth out. But if you do that, you and I are going to have problems. We should love what God loves. Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's pouring out his Spirit. That's what he did. Okay, now what do we do? Let's see if this will work. Yes, this is great. Response. This is all in Acts chapter. Please read it. Please be people that read the Bible. Repentance. What does that mean? This is a good definition, and you can read it later, but I'm not going to take the time to read it right now. I'll explain it. Repentance and faith. Let's go to the next slide. And baptism. The three things that we do. Do we have to do baptism to be saved? No. The thief on the cross, I believe if there was water and he would have had time and, you know, if he wasn't hung up by anything else, he would have been baptized, you know, but he had some stuff going on and he couldn't do it. Baptism, well, I'll explain it. Let's go to the next slide. And you kind of hit the first two buttons. Repentance. What is that? Repentance is not, hey, bro, get your life cleaned up and then come to church. Repentance is this. If you look at it in the etymology of the word, it's a changing of mind. It's one of the hardest things to change. The changing of mind. About what? About who God is and what he's done. Well, who is he? He's a God that loves you, the God that created everything, and that you are accountable to. Well, I don't want to agree with that. Well, then you should repent. That's what it means. To change your mind. Now, let me ask you a question. When you change your mind about something, what happens? What naturally flows? Anyone can respond to this. Nobody knows? Yeah, your behavior begins to change. So here's the deal. I changed my mind. I used to have longer hair, and I started to realize I'm not a good head. I got this issue right here, and hopefully it doesn't go here, but I should probably shave my head. So my mind changed about my hairstyle. So then my hairstyle changed. My actions changed, but it started in my mind. See, here's the deal. With the gospel, you need to repent about the fact that you think God hates you. That's not true. God loves you. If you don't believe that, repent. Change your mind. You need to know that God sent his son Jesus to take your place. Maybe some of you don't like that. You think, I'm man enough to take my own place. No, you're wrong. You need to repent. Well, I don't need God. No, you're wrong. You need to repent. You need to change your stinking thinking, basically. That's bad thinking. And please understand this. Bad thoughts eventually produce bad habits. And bad habits produce bad character. And bad character produces a wasted life. I've seen it in my family. There are so many talented people in my family, way more talented than me. Way more. And yet they're addicted to drugs. They can't keep the bottle down. And so their life is wasted. It breaks my heart when I see them. Because most of them hang out at the local surf shop. My family owns the Interlight chain. So I'll go into the surf shop and like 15 of our family members are there. Even the other day, I was hanging out with who's kind of running Interlight now that Yancey's passed away. He said, hey, you know, I had to kick so-and-so out. So why did you kick him out? He was living with my grandmother. Well, I found another bong and a couple of, man, that is ridiculous. This kid just had a kid out of wedlock. He's joining the Marines. You think he would wake up? Nope, not waking up. Man, that's a bummer. I wish he would repent. What does that mean? Stop smoking? No, change your mind. Drugs will kill you. Stop. First you repent. Well, then what next? Next two, faith. What does that mean? It means to trust. Like if I were to put you and like we'd had a little ladder up here and I said, okay, Lily, who's my little two-year-old, jump. You know what she would do? She would jump because she didn't know any better. She's two. See, that's the kind of faith God wants you to have. He called it childlike faith. What does that mean? It means when God says, I do, no questions. See, Lily and I have a great relationship. She makes fun of me, fun of her, since she's two. We have a great relationship, and so she trusts me. I say, Lily, and I've learned that when you speak to Lily, it's wise not to change your tone. If there's time for discipline or correction, if I just say it calmly and clearly, Lily, I want you to stop taking the M&M bag and going like this. Then she goes, okay, Daddy, there's trust because she knows me. See, if you don't have faith, you don't know God. Because God's good. And he will never lead you where he can't sustain you. God's a good God. So you should trust him. You should place your faith in him. You should trust that what he says about Jesus is true. What does he say about Jesus? That he's the only way to life, both temporally and eternally. Repentance, faith, and baptism is the next one. They're going to throw up the next two. What is baptism? Baptism is a lot of things. And if we had and explain what it all is. But honestly, this is what it is. It's publicly declaring who you are. It's a visible way for you to say, I'm dying to my old life and I'm coming up with Jesus. It's amazing that 72 people did that this morning that are a part of our church. That's awesome. That means they've already repented, now they're trusting, and now they're willing to really let people know. See, if you haven't been baptized, my question is, what the heck is wrong with you? No, my question is, why? See, when I got married, this is what we did. We knew a lot of people, and we knew that we wanted to have a small wedding, but that wasn't possible. So we said, okay, what are we going to do? Well, if we're not going to go, I'm the kind of person, we either go this way or we go that way 110%. We do not hang in the middle. So I said, if we're not going to have a small wedding, we're going to have a big wedding. So let's put it in the church bulletin. Let's put it on Facebook. Anyone who wants to come, you can come. It's actually a great way because a lot of people bring gifts, which you really need. It's time to get married. But that's not why we did it. You know, we were trying to be nice to people that we didn't really want to be there. But no, I'm just kidding. We just announced it. Hey, man, we're having this ceremony. Cece's buying this dress. We got these cakes. We got 5 people from the West Coast coming and 5 people from the East Coast that are going to be my groomsmen. It's going to be a great little shindig. You should come. Why did we do that ceremony? Because we wanted to publicly declare to friends and family what was going on in here. And that's what baptism is. It does not save you. Can you get married without a ceremony? Sure, absolutely. A good friend of mine just got remarried to the same wife who he was married to 2 years ago. They got divorced, had some issues, and they got remarried. And so they said, you know what? We just went to a courthouse and just kind of did it because we felt like it's better. I was like, that's cool. That's great. Did they have to have a second ceremony to be baptized or to be married? No. But if you really love someone, why would you not want to have a cool ceremony when you get married? Like little, we were at the beach yesterday eating at Pompano Joe's and there was a wedding going on. And these kind of drunk, kind of stupid people were saying, oh, don't do it, you know, just being total idiots. And I wanted to kind of say, you know, divorce is for the weak, but I didn't. I held my tongue. Because they were saying, marriage is for the weak. And I was like, you're an idiot, man. Marriage is tough. Like, it's for the strong. Divorce is for the weak. They just bail out, you know. Anyone can do that. But I said this. Lily goes, oh, that's her special boy. Because, see, that's what Lily. One day, I'll get a special boy. You know, she's super excited about this. And she's 2. Because she sees mommy and daddy have rings and she understands that I'm mommy's special boy. And so she's like, oh, I can't, where's my special boy? And we're like, well, first daddy has to meet him and then you can meet him. That's how it works. But see, because love and marriage is so important to us as a family, we do it big. Our first anniversary was Costa Rica. Hey, Cece, we're going to do it. And then we found out Lily came out of that situation. So next year, let's just keep it small. We don't want to do that again. So we should move on. Let's go to the next slide. Results. What does God give? And this is where we'll kind of begin to wrap it up. Well, what does he give? Let's throw it up on there. He gives a new start. He gives a new heart, and he gives you a new community. See, this is the results of the gospel. It's not just, oh, you're saved. Now go figure out life. No, that's the new start. New heart. God now dwells inside you. At salvation, you are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. I firmly believe that. And you're now empowered to live life the way you were originally meant to live life. Because please understand this. If you were born, how many of you were born? Most of you. If you were born, then you have a problem. And that problem is called sin. And the only remedy for sin, death. So either you need to die and pay your debt because it's yours. I'm not going to pay it for you. But God did say, I'll let this one guy pay it for you. It's myself. It's Jesus, the Son of God. So you have an option. Either you pay your debt or you let Jesus pay your debt. And if you do, you get a new start, a new heart, and a new community. See, when you get saved, when you make that decision, realized it or not, you joined this huge movement that's been going on for 2,000 years. That's why I love it, like at a Baptist church, when someone gets saved, they say, hey, you're joining the church. Some people are turned off by that. See, I'm not. Well, why? Because that's truth. When you join Christ, you join his body. You can't have it both ways. So my question to those of you that are saved, are you a practical, visible your church? If not, you're being disobedient to the gospel. I know you got excuses because I got them too. But if you're not learning in your church, if you're not giving in your church, and you're not serving, in my opinion, You're not being a good steward of the gospel. Why? Because God's given you a new start. You love that. Oh, that's free. I don't have to do it. The Holy Spirit, oh, I love that. Well, what's the new community? Bummer. You mean I got to love people practically by serving them? Yeah, you do. I don't want to do that. You need to spend some more time with Jesus then. Because Jesus loves the church. And I despise people that pick on the church. Oh, man, I just despise that. I hate that with a passion. People that pick on the bride of Christ. Well, they do it this way and they do it that way and we can't. Man, nothing more upsets me. You know why? Because if you did that to my bride, again, when I get better at boxing, you and I are going to have words. And if you do that to Christ's bride, I don't know what the results are of that. But I don't think when you stand before him, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful critic. He's going to say, we need to talk. Be one who celebrates the bride of Christ. And instead of picking on, pick from. What does that mean? Celebrate what other churches do well. You know, the Village Church here, they have an amazing concert series. Amazing. We should celebrate that. Thank God that there's a church that's got money that can bring in those expensive musicians. We don't have to do it. There's so many good churches. We don't want to duplicate ministry. We want to add to it. We don't want to pick on the church. We want to pick from the church. We want to celebrate well and let Jesus deal with the details. It's time to show the movie. There's other stuff I could show you, but I don't want to keep you long. I promised the worship band that I wouldn't. I want to show you the testimony of my uncle. This testimony some of you have seen, and I'm okay with that if you've already seen it. And if you've like, man, I've seen this, I'm out of here. But Yancey is a man that's just a man. He's just a normal guy. Loved Jesus, helped my dad come to know Jesus, and helped a lot of others. He helped me through Bible college. And Abby, his daughter, said something about Yancey that I thought was very interesting. Yancey's a, you know, multimillionaire. You'd never know it. Buys his shoes on eBay. You know, that kind of guy. She said he gave more money to the poor than he made in his life. I don't make a lot of money, and I don't ever really want to, because I've found that money brings problems. So just get enough to get a roof over your head and clothes on your back, and help other people if you get more. But don't make it your God, because it'll ruin you. Because Jesus said you can't serve two masters. And he was speaking about money. Either you love God. Oh, that's the wrong video. Oh, actually, you know what? That video will work. We'll just show that video. Either you love God or you love money. Can't have it both ways. Some of you are living for money. That's your God. By the nature of the fact that you live in Destin, it's hard not to. Because it's an affluent community. But you can't serve God and money. You can only serve one. Gave more money to the poor than he made in his life. But I have a similar testimony when someone has to give my eulogy. Because that comes, and you don't get to choose when that comes. Death happens like that. Even to a guy who's 60 and has a heart of a 30-year-old. Because you're not in control. As soon as you realize that, the better for you. You're not in control. God is. So trust him. Trust him. If you haven't done that yet, you really, 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 really need to. And as the Bible says, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Because yesterday is a mystery. Yesterday's history, tomorrow is a mystery, and the present is all you have. Here's what I wanted to share with you. See, this is the video, but we won't do it today. We'll do it some other time. But you can actually go online. If you just Google Yancey Spencer tribute video. It's a great video. But I was in a store the other day, and I saw this, and I wanted to read it to you. I thought it was a cool little $3 mug, and I like stuff that's cheap. It says this, sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3. All means all. Blood. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. Faith. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, because by the works of the law, no human being can be justified. Galatians 2:16. Forgiveness. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Life. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, but I will come back and receive you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. I feel like I would be an unfaithful steward of the gospel now that I've communicated the simple truth to you if I didn't give you an opportunity to respond. That's not my job, to save people. See, I think the American church has bought into this mentality. Well, big music, big band, great communicator, lots of people get saved. That's too mechanical for me. I see salvation as a miracle, not as a methodology that I adhere to and get some kind of response. See, God speaks to your heart, not me. Thank God, because I'm not very good at that. God speaks to your heart, and He changes your heart. So this is all I want to do. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray that you would respond to the gospel. How? Either for the first time, meaning you've never heard this. See, there are people in America that have never heard the gospel. You don't believe me? Go to San Francisco. We did an outreach there. Hate Ashbury. So many hippies that don't know the 70s over, but that also have never heard the name of Jesus. That's amazing. Did you know that? That there's people in America that have never heard the name of Jesus. Uganda needs Jesus, but so does Destin. Preach the gospel, church. That's what you're called to do. You've never heard this, and you need to respond. Or number two, this is where I think a lot of Americans are. They thought they knew the gospel, but they were more living for the American dream. That's not the gospel. Get rich and buy a lot of toys and step on everyone you can. That doesn't sound like the gospel at all. You are a person that's heard the gospel, maybe even has it accepted at one point or another, but you've never really trusted Jesus with your life. You've never given Him complete control. You may have added Him to your life and you say, yeah, He's my fire insurance. He's my homeboy, but He's not my Lord. He's not my King. I can't say that through my finances. I can't say that when I look at my calendar and see where all my time is really spent. So your life preaches the gospel. Your words should, but really your life testifies what you believe. So that's very simple, to know what you believe. Tell me what you're doing this week. Let me see your budget for the last 5 years and where your money's gone. I did that once, and you know what I found out? I need to repent. I need to change where I'm spending my money. That's what tells me where you are with Jesus. Not your words, because talk is cheap, but how you live your life. You believe the gospel? Show me. Show me. I'm sick of people telling me they believe it. And then we do ministry together, find out they don't believe the gospel. This is a platform of ministry for them. It's a platform to be known. I just want to pray for you. If you've never heard this message, man, it's awesome to live life. Or if you've heard this message and you've grown cold to it, I want to pray for it.